The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you could, if you have your Bibles with you, which you should. We are going to be in the book of Isaiah this morning. So Isaiah chapter 64 is where we will be. This morning, I actually have, and I wish I could give everyone here, because some of you need something to play with in chapel, I understand that, but I'm not going to be able to give everyone one of these. This is sticky tack. But I'm going to ask, I don't even know your name yet. Come on up here, though. What is your name?
Jeff.
What is it?
Jeff,
come on up here, Jeff. Jeff can come right up to this mic. Now, Jeff is going, he has a piece of sticky tack. And when I did my grad work in education, this was, now those of you who are in education know of this. So, Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff, hey, Jeff. Okay, Jeff, I want you to just start working the sticky tack. Okay, just that's all your job is. It's not hard. You got this. You got this. And so I would remember, because we could not put things on the wall, but when we are teaching, the classroom needs to be looking great. And so I would remember being even in those education classes, and I wanted to put stuff on the wall. So I got my sticky tack, and I would put my posters up in the classroom, but they would always fall. And so I'm like, every day I have to come back, put up these posters again and again and again. It was quite frustrating. And then I saw in one of my education classes, these are the girls in education class. Now, any education females here? Okay, because you know what I'm talking about. Maybe, I don't know. That was back then. And they would be sitting in class with sticky tack. I'm like, what are you doing? And they're saying they're working their sticky tack. Why? Because in order for it to be stickable, it has to be stretchable. And I'm like, you mean I needed to work this thing? You think it's easy to work. And so then all of a sudden you're breaking it up. But you continue to work it to get it. And I don't know the science behind it, but for whatever reason, it gets to a place where it is usable. And so the title of the message this morning is simply this: Clay in the Master's Hands. If you want to be usable, you must be stretchable. If you want to be stretchable, you must be breakable. Now, Jeff, your job today is to sit down there. Now, typically, I would say, need to follow me with the word, but all your job is to play with sticky tack. All right, you go ahead right down there, and I'm going to bring you back up later. Let's ask the Lord's help as we study his word today. Father, we need to hear from you, Lord. These students need to hear from you. Lord, use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. May we be clay in your hands. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 64, verse number 8, is really where we're getting our text from. Okay, so I need you to turn there. Need you to get there, all right? I need you to be with me. Isaiah 64, verse 8. Now, I want you to look at what this passage is saying, because we're going to look at clay today, but I wanted to look at from two perspectives, from the heavens perspective and from our perspective. Let's look at the verse. It says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Now, if there was a message, if there's a message that I could communicate to college students, this would be it. You are clay in the master's hands because you are in the beautiful season of your life that God is molding, God is making, God is pouring into you. This is a wonderful season for you. But you have to almost understand what's going on. Or else you, one, won't appreciate it. Or two, you may miss the lessons that God has for you during this important season of your life. And I don't want you to do so. And so let's first of all look at heaven's perspective. Heaven's perspective, because when we're dealing with your life, many times we look at our life from our perspective, but I want to start with God's, all right? Because that's how this passage goes. So he starts off and he gives us three illustrations of God in this passage. What are they? He says, one, but now, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is the covenant name of God. And so here is Yahweh, Jehovah, O Lord. So that is an intimate covenant name. All right. So that's how he starts. He says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. So he does set himself as Lord, then he sets himself as Father. All right, so this is another beautiful picture. Then he says, we are the clay and thou our potter. And so there are three perspectives from heaven that are important for us to look at, and we have to begin here. The first is, I call it the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord. Why? We're dealing with the master and the clay. All right? So the sovereign Lord, the loving Father, and then the master potter. Let's dive in and look. Now, we're going to look at the sovereign Lord. And so I'm going to ask just some help this morning. I know they were nervous. It's hard to be up here in front of all of y'all. So I'm going to ask, who has Romans? He's like, you don't have to come up here. Yes, right here. Okay, I want you to begin reading for me. So turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Now you have to follow me because this, if it's not from the Bible, you should be looking at me and going, hey, where are you getting that from now? Let's look at scripture. Romans chapter 9. And it says, start with verse 14. Would you? Yes.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
Okay. Now, oh, I am sorry. We had Jeff, and you are?
Cody.
Okay, Cody. Glad to have you with us, Cody, in chapel this morning. And so here we have, what shall we say then? What is the next? What shall we say then?
Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
If there's unrighteousness with God, God forbid. So what he's saying here is God is just. God is righteous. There is no unrighteousness in our God. So we're looking at the character of our God. Go on, verse 15.
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Okay, thank you. So Cody, here he is saying, not only is God just, and justice says, God will do what is right by you. That's God's justice. So no matter what happens in your life, remember, God is just and he will do what is right by you. And so when we get to the judgment day and we see a just judge, we do understand. You know, sometimes we can fool people here. You can fool teachers and principals and parents, but you cannot fool God. He will do what is right by you. He is righteous. But then he goes to say he is sovereign. Sovereign says God has the right to do with his creation that he sees fit. That is sovereign. So you have to understand who it is we're talking about. He is just, he is sovereign. That's why he says, I can give compassion on whomever I decide as God to give compassion to. Go on, my brother, verse number 16, Cody.
So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Okay, so he's saying, listen, sometimes you're going, well, if I work really hard, and this is the message that we get from a lot of the humanistic schools out there. Boy, if you set your mind on it with all your mind and your heart, you can accomplish anything that you put your mind to. And really, you can't. But we're not going to go there. I don't want to burst your bubble on that. But this is what he is saying here. He is saying, hey, you are out there and you're trying to give your power to it. Well, God is sovereign and he is in control. So no matter what all everyone is running and doing in their power, God is still sovereign and he is still on the throne. No matter what craziness is happening in our world, God is still on the throne. That's what he's saying. Let's jump down, my brother, in verse number 19. 19.
19?
Yes.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?
Okay, thank you, Cody, because this is the next question. Well, if God is sovereign, if God is in control, so why do I have to do anything? He's going to do what he wants anyway. This is what the passage says. The pastor said, well, then your response is, well, if God is in control and he's going to do what he wants anyway, what do I have to do? Because he's just going to do it. Ha ha. Go to the next verse, verse 20.
Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall they bring form, say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?
Oh, don't you love the way the Bible says that? He says, hey, who do you think you are? How could the thing that was made talk to the one who made it like this? We call it back talk. When I was young, my father was a police officer and a disciplinarian. We don't back talk. So if he says to do something, you don't go, well, Dad. Well, Dad. You don't back talk. And this is what God is saying. I am sovereign God. See, sometimes we get so flippant with God that we bring him down to our level. And he's saying, listen, I am God. Read the next verse.
Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor.
Okay, Cody, thank you. You did a great job. You can take a seat. Hey, he says, has not the potter power over the clay? Now, see, we have done disservice many times to our Christian young people because sometimes we let you think that if you follow God, it will all be rainbows and daffodils and skipping through these wonderful areas of life. And that's not the way it is. God is saying, I am sovereign. What if I choose for this vessel to be not a vessel of fine china, but a vessel of Tupperware? God is saying, I am sovereign. I choose. Okay? So you have to start here. We have to look at the potter. We have to understand he is the sovereign Lord. Okay, so he is the sovereign Lord, and the response to a sovereign Lord is submission. The response to the sovereign Lord is submission. If a sovereign came in here, if the king or whatever, and we don't have that here, but when we have a sovereign, we submit. Why? Because that's the sovereign. That's the response. Let's move on. Let's look at loving father. I want to read this. This is Isaiah 64. This is where our text is from. Isaiah 64. And I'm actually going to let's look at verse 5. It says, "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." In this passage, in our text, here is Isaiah. The people of Israel, they're not in a good place. Okay, their hearts have gone away from God. And here is the prophet of God. He's hearing from God. He has to communicate to the people. And part of it is judgment will come if you don't do right. And so here is Isaiah knowing who God is. And he understood who God is. And then he began to say, when God shows up, what happens? We're going to look at that, not today, but what happens when God shows up. And then he gets to this passage that God begins to reveal. And when God begins to reveal, all he could say is, we are unrighteous people. And then he goes on to say, you know what? Even our good works are horrible, filthy rags before God. And we need to be careful of that, sitting here in a wonderful environment, because we can wear masks so well. We can put on the mask and we can act as though we are the closest to God. But when God looks at our heart, he says it is deceitful, it is wicked. We're still not dealing with our sin, and he sees it. But because he hasn't done anything, because he hasn't come down on judgment, what happens is you take the long suffering of God for lightness, and you act as though God is blind and he's long suffering. And so here is Isaiah understanding that God is not pleased. He says God is angry, and he gets to the point of saying our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so filthy rags, I remember when I worked at camp, I was one of the trash run guys. Now, I don't know if you understand trash run, but at camp, you know, everything goes in trash. And we picked up the trash while everyone was in the service. And I wanted to get to the service so bad, because I needed to hear the word. I wanted to get in there and hear the Bible. And so sometimes after trash run, we would run in church and sit in the back, you know, just hanging out. One thing I have recognized is when you get trash juice all over you, you know what trash juice is, right? All that stuff that settles at the bottom of the bag. And then you pick it up out of the... When you get trash juice all over you, cologne does not help. That's something I learned. Because as much as you can put cologne over trash juice, it's worse. And this is what God is saying here. Says you have not purified your heart, and you are trying to put on all of this makeup and mask, and I am not impressed, not pleased. But look at the turn of this passage. Verse 7, it says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." This is Isaiah. Lord, you showed up, and you're ready to come down with a heavy hand. Then he moves into our text. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. It's almost like, Lord, we have nowhere else to go. It's almost like, you know, a parent that's training their toddler. And they said, no, and the toddler still, broke the command. So dad has to discipline the toddler. The toddler is feeling as though the world is crashing. When the discipline is done, you know typically what the toddler does? That's what this is. I have nowhere to go. You're my Father. You are my Father. And so here is the loving Father molding and shaping his children into what he knows what is best for them. What is the response to a loving Father? Submission. We submit. Why? Because my Father knows best. My Father understands. And as much as I try to hide, much as I try to put it on, he knows, and he knows best. But then it comes now to what I call the master potter. So let's jump to Jeremiah chapter 18. So if we could have, now I don't know your name yet, but she's going to come up and help us. Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, Jeremiah chapter 18 is the trip to the potter's house. Now, what is your name?
Christina.
Christina's going to help us. So, now, with this passage, it's important because sometimes, you know, we read the Bible and go, wah, wah, wah. This is one of those passages you have to step in. You have to feel the breeze. You have to see it. It's written in 3D. And so we have to experience the passage. Help us, Christine. Let's start with verse number, one. Why not?
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels.
Okay, thank you, Christine. So here is Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is one of those what I call visual prophets. God gives him all these pictures to communicate his heart. And so he sends him to the potter's house. And I love pottery. I love making things on the wheel. So what happens when he gets there?
And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it.
What was the last phrase? Say that last phrase once.
As seemed good to the potter to make it.
As seemed good to the potter to make it. So the vessel, thank you, Christine. You may be seated. So the vessel is marred. So if you've ever done clay, you'd understand this. So it is all with the will of the potter. I remember as a student here, when I did my undergrad, I had a few classes left, so I always loved art. So I went into the art classes here, and I took a number of art classes. I really enjoyed them. I was upset when they told me I had to take one of these classes for non-art majors. I'm like, what is that, non-art majors? But I learned in that class the beauty of seeing. You draw what you see and not what you think you see. It's all about the vision of the artist, the vision of the potter. So God has a vision that he's working. One of the big sculptors, when he got the block of stone, he said, "My goal is to release the image that I see inside." So he does not see stone. He is there chipping to release the image he sees. And so God is working and working on you. And so what he's doing now let's get to the clay's perspective. Come back up here, my brother. This is Jeff, come up here. Real quick, Christmas coming. And so here is God working. So the first thing that happens in the potter's house is that lump of clay has to be broken down. Has to be broken down. Why? Because there's so much air pockets in there. Air pockets is like that pride. Because many times you think you know what's best for you better than God does. And so we push and we fight. Could you imagine if you go into the potter's house and the clay is going, I don't like this. I don't like it this way. You're pushing too hard. That's not what I like. Can't I go this way? You're going, you're clay. You're clay. Let the potter do what the potter does. And so as he's stretching, what happens is he breaks it and it becomes more flexible. You know, God is doing stretching some of you right now. He had to break you. Some of you are going through that breaking process. I don't like this, Lord. You came here. Crack. God has to break you. Some of you are still fighting with him. You think you're fighting with the principals or the principals, the teachers and the staff here. No. It's the master potter who brought you here to mold you into what you ought to be for his glory. And letting God work it. And so as he's working, you will feel the heat. And because when that heat starts, you know it's good and ready. Why? Because God is making you ready to handle the heat. Because there's some heat coming. May God prepare our young people for the heat that is coming that will prove how good a vessel you are. And when you got that and you pull that apart now, does you feel it kind of sticks to your fingers a little bit, doesn't it?
Yep.
Why? Because now it's usable. And he makes it another vessel. I'll tell you why. Because he has to put his stamp, his name on it. And God will not put his name on it unless you're ready. So God is working something in your life. Thank you. But the close is this. Read with me this last verse. He says in verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Here we have the sovereign God. Here we have the master potter. Here we have the loving father. And he still says, will you give me permission? Cannot I do with you as with the clay?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.